When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's May 9th, 2024. It's time for your TNA Impact post-show. I am Adriel Pearl, and joining me once again, I have I've already messed it up. Cresta Starr is back. Hi, Cresta.
Hey, it's all good. That doesn't matter to me as long as I'm here. Free love, baby. Hi, I missed you guys. I've missed Joel Pearl. It's been so long, Joel. I feel like we haven't hosted together in like 3 weeks. I could be wrong.
We took some time off. You and I got together, I think, before Rebellion. And then Rebellion happened. You were at Dynasty. You were in St. Louis. So
yes.
So you weren't there for that. So Jensen and I did that. And we came back. I think we did a couple of weeks. And then Under Siege came around. And we were supposed to do, well, the night before Under Siege, it was your birthday. So I ended up doing a solo show. And then Under Siege, we were going to do a live show. And I was just exhausted. No other word for it. I was completely just drained. So I kind of said at the last minute to you, I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's not worry about it tonight. Maybe we'll just touch on it on tonight's show, which I think would be a pretty good idea. We can give our thoughts on Under Siege, the show itself, before I get your general thoughts on Under Siege and, of course, tonight's Impact. It felt like going into Under Siege, it was just a card, a few matches. Turns out Under Siege was actually a pretty good vehicle moving forward into Against All Odds. And of course, later on to Slammiversary, which was good. And I think probably a better place to talk about tonight rather than its own show altogether, because everything kind of played well into this episode of Impact, which I appreciated more having not done a post show for Under Siege. What are your thoughts on both shows we're about to dive into?
Let me start off by saying that I'm an extroverted introvert. So when you said cancel plans at last minute, I did rejoice just a touch, just a touch, just a touch.
I get it.
But overall, I agree with you that I think that it's a great addition. Not to say that it was a pre-show, because it very much was a pay-per-view. And then I will say, seeing Casey Navarro here and then going to the House of Glory show and seeing him live, oh, he eats. He's so good. He's so good. Overall, there was a lot to take away. I have so much beef with Ash by Elegance because you had me in the first half and then you pissed me off.
Well, she's doing her job, is she?
Listen, I'm getting worked, brother. 7 R's, 90 R's on the end of that. I'm getting worked, brother, because I don't understand why you did what you did at the end of the match and not during the match. And that's my brain go burr. So
I get it. She had the match on Countdown. It was her versus Jessica Havoc, and she gets the win, does Ash by Elegance. They showed that tonight in her little interview, that the segment she did with Gabby LaSpezia and Zaya Brookside would come out, and they set up a match for next week, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the match itself at Countdown Under Siege, it was fine. I had a feeling that this was going to turn into a knockouts tag team with somebody joining up with Ash by Elegance. Thought maybe Giselle Shaw or Atasha Steeles. Steeles more than Shaw, because I knew that something was going on with Giselle Shaw's character and a revamp, and we saw that tonight as well, which we'll get into. But instead, they just had Jessica Havoc lose a match, which, you know, had some shenanigans. They did the garlic, and it was kind of comedy. But then it also showed a mean streak in Ash by Elegance afterwards, which I appreciated in the storytelling of Ash by Elegance and who she's supposed to be and how she can lose her shit on a moment's notice. But the match itself, it was fine. It was what it was. And again, we're not rejoicing that she didn't get a title shot. I think we're more rejoicing that they're letting her kind of build this character and hopefully build wins and proper, you know, matches going into it.
my gripe was I feel like she did it in reverse. I get the comedy in the beginning. I guess maybe it's high camp, but I felt that mean streak, especially against Jessica Havoc. You should have done that in the ring, in the match. And I can say, okay, I see it. You may be, I'm beautiful, I'm classy, but you're also dangerous. Beating down Havoc the way you did, to me, post-match was just like, girl, where was this literally 10 minutes ago? You throwing holy water and then you're going to choke out. I get you're cheating, so you don't want to do it in front of the ref. That I understand. Also, Rosemary spitting out the holy water was funny. I'm not going to lie. But also, Rosemary, where were you at? Like, why are you letting Ash by Elegance trounce on Havoc? Why is that even happening? I had so many questions. I want this to work. I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for you. But this made me upsetty spaghetti. I was on the floor. All of my noodles were on the floor. I was upset.
Yeah, I get it. I do. We actually, you know what, by the way, if you haven't already, leave a thumbs up on the video, subscribe to us here, youtube.com/Fightful. And if you haven't already sent a super chat, get in on it. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. Deanna starts us off, by the way, saying TNA and AAA announced a partnership at Hard to Kill, and we've heard nothing since. Before I get to the rest of that super chat, they basically had some sort of working relationship with AAA for like almost 10 years. They established one in 2012, and then they reestablished it in 2015, and then in 2018, and now they've just basically, they're just reminding you that there is something there. Continuing on with the super chat, would like if they did a collab show or a Super X cup of sorts. Easy for me to say. Also, what's your favorite thing about TNA and what drew you to it? So, multi-part question. I will say that, yes, they have the collab, and they actually just announced, I think it was a match at Fantastica Mania. I've got to find the match, but Rosemary's a part of it, and that shocked a couple of people because Rosemary's last experience in AAA wasn't a very good one, and that actually brings me to a conversation you and I had offline regarding Sexy Star and House of Glory. So, yeah, at Triple Mania, that's where they're doing it. Triple Mania, it's going to be in June 15th. It's Havoc, Tasha Steelz, and Rosemary taking on Maravilla, Flammer, and La Hiedra. That is surprising to see Rosemary back, but kind of understand what they're doing. Love to see a Super X Cup come back. That's a Mustafa Ali thing if they're going to do it. But yeah, your general thoughts about doing a collab show between Triple A and TNA.
I would like to see luchadors win in TNA one time. Just one time. I mean, Laredo Kid is champion. So, you know, I would like to see them win. So I'm excited for this. Like you said, our conversation offline with the Rosemary and her last interaction with AAA. I think if an apology, if you feel like you still owe one, because she's been said it's cool, not saying she get it, not that it's cool, but you know, it happened, you know? But if this is welcome back, thank you, we're sorry, let him do it.
Also, yeah, it was Sexy Star. I feel like, well, first of all, she doesn't work for that promotion anymore. Second of all, there could have been some apologies made and she may have decided that she's going back because she wants to. And maybe her tag team partners also wanted her to go. So we'll find out. We'll dig in more, but I don't think there's really much to it. And then the second part of the question, what's our favorite part about TNA and what drew us to it? I'll let you start with this. What drew you to it? What drew you to TNA? I'm tongue-tied tonight. It's done.
You're drunk with tiredness. I got you. This is a long one, so you can take a breather. So it's two part. So I was doing the wrestling thing, and Sean was looking for someone to cover the TNA show, and I had seen bits and pieces of the TNA show, and admittedly, I was on my Kendrick Lamar, TNA sucks. Like, the Undead Realm, I don't care, Wrestle House, who shot Johnny Bravo, this is weird. But my little brother said, you better watch what you say about TNA, because TNA used to be the shit. So he then showed me the Steiner Math promo, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Then I started working at TNA. Not TNA. I wish, knock on wood. Come on now. I started working at Fightful. So watching it every week, I grew a respect for the in-ring competition because I'm watching WWE and I'm watching AEW. And I can honestly say that the in-ring competition at TNA does not get talked about enough because this is fine wrestling. I never have to go in and say, this match is a stonker. it might be a squash, but I never have to worry about the in-ring competition. I also like the diversity of TNA. I can literally see Joe Hendry ask someone to get fired. And then also in the next match, see Sami Callihan try to kill someone with a Cactus Driver 97. That's duality. I'm not getting that everywhere. I like the variety. And again, like, I'm not seeing people like Josh Alexander everywhere, like Jordan Grace everywhere, like a Deonna Purrazzo, Rosemary. There's so much diversity in their knockouts division alone, bro. I have such a respect for TNA. I will cap for TNA. It makes me go back and watch old matches of AJ Styles. I can see why people ride or die and they say we're the TNA faithful. It's a great product. I wish people would just watch it and give it a chance. Yeah, there are things that stink about it, but every wrestling company has things that stink about it. But TNA, I think, that's the underdog. I'm rooting. That's my little brother. Like, I'm rooting for TNA. Everything about it. But also, again, my Joe Hendry is a piece of crap. How do you ask for someone to get fired?
It's good stuff, though. This is a great segment. My TNA fandom is I followed them from the get-go because I was a WCW fan, which is weird because I'm a Canadian, but I grew up watching WCW on TSN, and then WCW obviously folded and WWF bought them. I followed them to the pay-per-views, the weekly Wednesday pay-per-views, and followed them through the Fox Sports years and the Spike years and all that stuff. And then they had a billion other channels that they ended up working on. It was Pursuit, and then it was Pop TV, and then it was Twitch exclusive, and that's this. And at one point, myself and Steven Jensen on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, we were doing live watch-alongs because Impact at the time were encouraging it. They were asking you to live stream it, and then they eventually locked it down to the TNA Plus, or at least the TNA special YouTube membership deal that they've got going now, and that put an end to our watch-alongs, unfortunately. However, getting to keep up with it has been more of a joy than a struggle. When Anthem bought them, that became a point of pride for me because I'd followed the company for so long. I'd followed TNA and Impact for so long. And Anthem is a Canadian company. They're literally 20 minutes down the road from where I live. So I was able to now cover them in a different light with a Canadian pride on it. And also, I went to Bound for Glory that year in Ottawa. Like, I made it a point to go to that show with my friends, and like, we sat ringside and the whole nine, had a good time. And yeah, it was just something I always felt like I enjoyed watching. It wasn't perfect, believe me. There were some years where I was like, this sucks, Impact sucks. We got to get out of here, man. They're not going to pay anymore. But yeah, I've just kept up with it. They're just solid. They deserve to stick around because, you know, death taxes and TNA lasting forever. That's just the way it is, right?
Honestly, truly, there are a few things that will survive an apocalypse. And as I say, y'all should put more respect on TNA's name, because when WWE and AEW go under, you'll be back. You'll be wishing you had the six-sided ring. You were wishing you were singing his name and he would appear. You'll be back.
Joe Hendry buys AEW and WWE.
And changes all their theme sauces. Say his name and he appears. I own every wrestling.
Impact opens tonight with the System Celebration. The Albany Firewolves lacrosse team cheerleading squad do a dance intro, which was just hilarious to me, but at least they did some integration. Under Siege, going back to the show, the main event was kind of a mishmash, right? US B-Ball Mountain and Matt Hardy teaming up to take on Edward Edwards, Brian Myers, who are the tag title champions, and Moose. The match itself was good. You had Matt Hardy go through a table with Moose, or go put Moose through a table. And in the end, the System still pulls out the win. But really, the bigger story from the night was that the System added another championship to its ranks. Shouldn't be a surprise, really. The whole point of the show was to give Masha Lisha the Knockouts tag titles and give Alicia Edwards the Knockouts tag titles so that she could cart it around along with the rest of the crew and look legitimate and not just look like some random woman who is married to Eddie Edwards. You know, Lish has a track record. She is a wrestler. We know this. And to the point where during the celebration, you've got Edward Edwards saying, you know, she is the greatest knockout of all time and it's getting heat, which is great stuff. The more I look at the System, Cresta, the more I realized this is the perfect team to be running roughshod over TNA since Hard to Kill when they introduced them. Your thoughts on the celebration? And of course, Matt Hardy gets involved. Ryan Nemeth gets involved. Matt Hardy tries to, you know, take on the system one on four, and then Ryan Nemeth makes a save. That's really what it ends up being.
So I will say this. Still don't understand why they broke up MK Ultra to put her with Masha Lisha, but sure. All right.
Well, no, that's the best part. Sorry to cut you off. That's the best part. Is that when Killer Kelly comes back, she is going to start a whole feud with those two. And there's more in there that I think makes it even better to have Masha Lisha as a team right now.
Okay. I'll give you that. Also curious, Masha Samovich is nowhere to be seen in this promo.
She's not a part of the system. She never has been. She was told that she's not.
So she's just a vehicle. If I was Masha, I would be upsetty. I'd be Maleficent upsetty. How are you going to throw a celebration and not invite me? You got me clipped.
No, because it was already agreed. They agreed. They told Masha. Masha said, you know, well, Masha replied in Russian. But the whole point was that this wasn't Masha joining the system. They flat out said it to her face. You're not joining the system. You are merely an exercise in convenience for Alicia. And Masha was like, I'm like, sure, give me the titles. Give me the tag titles.
Turn on her, Masha. Anyway, the segment was fine. Honestly, the system, like you said, is the perfect group to be running roughshod. The system is what Honor No More should have been. These guys, they're easy to hate. And I think we have said this before on the show. This is the perfect group to set up like this. So when they lose, you're not going to feel bad. You're not going to be like, darn, I don't want this person to lose. Because they're all like, they're really good heels. So it's easy to boo them. You individually, like as a fan, like, yo, these guys suck. You're the worst. You guys are all the worst. And then they're running Russia. What are you going to do? I think it was smart putting the tag title on Lish, because very respectfully, unless you had major shenanigans, Jordynne Grace was going to fold you like a sandwich, bro. Like, I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see that. And I like this. I like this. Matt Hardy coming out.
Okay. I gotta give it to Moose. Moose says he ran off Matt Hardy and Nick Nemeth, ran them off the court like they were Croatia and the system were the 92 Dream Team. I cackled.
And what a course, dated reference.
Everything he said was a dated reference. And then Matt Hardy comes out eventually, says, I'd like to see Moose's Super Bowl ring. And then the crowd goes, ooh, and you got Brian Myers tugging on his collar like, oh, I should have saw that. That shit was great.
I will say, if you have never seen Broken Matt Hardy, which my friend had never seen Broken Matt Hardy, he was like, what is this? I think Broken Matt Hardy is so stupid that it's funny. This is camp. This is peak wrestling camp. When they say sports entertainment, this is the entertainment part. I liked it. What is Ryan Nemeth doing in the Impact Zone? I'm here for it. I think the Impact Tag Team Division could use a little sprucing. I think both tag divisions could use a little sprucing. So if that's what brings us to it, that's great. And also, I want to see Brother Nero. I want to see how far we go with Broken Matt Hardy this time. Because I wasn't here for the first time, but I'm here for the shenanigans this time.
So we'll move forward in a second. I'll give you my thoughts on where we're going with this. But yeah, Lish doing the accent jokes again, that rules. Talking, you know, I can't understand you, Matt Hardy, because of your accent. And then Matt teasing Rebby Hardy's going to come after Alicia Edwards, which is something I want to see.
There are two wrestling wives who I respect, and I will never look in their husband's direction disrespectfully. And that's Rebby Hardy and Brian Cage's wife, Melissa. I want no beef. Respectfully. Respectfully. When he said, be quiet, Snow Witch. I was like, ah!
You can add Randy Orton's wife to that as well.
You know what? I will. I will look forward. I'm looking forward respectfully.
good idea. So yeah, Matt Hardy comes out. He gets beaten down by the system. Ryan Nemeth makes a save. They're backstage with Santino in a few minutes later, and they basically accost Santino, does the system, and he's like, "I'm going to make a huge monumental announcement." And then later on in towards the end of the show, he makes the announcement that, well, they've already taped the match and they promoted it, but either way, it was a champs versus all-star match. And then he adds that Josh Alexander's not medically cleared. Josh also pulled himself from all indie bookings in May, so we hope he gets well very soon. He said it's precautionary that he's not injured. It's more a preservation thing. So we hope whatever he's getting checked out gets cleared. He's okay, but he will not be a part of this All-Stars match. So he wasn't part of the tapings. The match is the system. So you got Moose, Myers, and Edwards taking with Masha Slamovich and Lisha Edwards and Laredo Kid and Mustafa Ali and Jordynne Grace. They're going to take on the team of Joe Henry, Spitfire, that's Danny Luna and Jody Threat, Ryan Nemeth, Eric Young, Steph DeLander, Matt Hardy, and Sami Callihan, who I assume is filling in for Josh Alexander, given that it feels like, taking a look at this, Joe Hendry's probably going to go after Laredo Kid in the Digital Media Championship. Spitfire is going to go back after Masha and Alicia. Ryan Nemeth is probably going to get his brother back to go against the system in a tag team match against All Odds for the tag titles. Eric Young is in there. Eric and Sammy are kind of the weirdos here, but Steph DeLander and Jordynne Grace feels like it's happening again. Matt Hardy and Moose feels like it's happening again. That's the one thing. I don't know if they're going to do Eric and Josh against the system or if Ryan Nemeth is going to do something else. It's very strange. Ryan Nemeth going for the X Division Championship isn't happening because we're finding out what happens at the end of the night, how that X Division Championship is just going to happen. But what were your thoughts when they announced the Champs versus All-Stars match for next week?
I started playing Baldur's Gate again. So I'm like, wow, this is a 5v, this is a 6v6, 7v7. We love this. We love this. You got a berserker. You've got a bard. This is great. honestly, I'm excited for this. It sucks that Josh Alexander's not in there. Get well soon. I think that him taking all the time that he needs is very important because I do enjoy him as a wrestler and I can't wait for him to come back and give back slobber knockers. That being said, this is going to be a hot mess and I cannot wait. It's going to be good. This is going to be a fantastic match. Everything you said lines up until you, like you said, you get the moves. So are you running it with Matt Hardy again? Are we doing Nick Nemeth? What are we doing there? But I think that's also exciting that we've got so many players now in the main event scene that there's no clear, this is who is going against this person. Like, just for the men's in particular, like you said, Steph DeLander, Grace seems like that's happening again. The system and the Nemeth brothers could be happening again, but there's also, hey, I don't want to sign. I don't want to not sign. I don't want to tag with my brother. And maybe the brother's not signed. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for it. I think we're going to get a lot more storyline going into this. And against all odds, the card is going to be fantastic.
And listen, selfishly, I'm hoping they don't run Moose versus Matt Hardy at Slammiversary. It's not a slight to either man. It's really not. To me, it doesn't scream Slammiversary main event. Moose and Nick Nemeth, you can do it again if Nemeth gets the win. But then there's also, this is a good problem to have at TNA. They've just loaded up their men's main event division. They've added Hammerstone. They've got Josh. They've added Mike Santana. They've got Macklin, who's on a tear. He's working on some really interesting story. You've got Frankie Kazarian. We talked about Moose and Matt Hardy. They've got a lot of people. I'm sure I'm missing people, but there's a wealth of talent at the top, but Moose and Matt Hardy is not the main event that I look to when I'm thinking of the 20th anniversary of Slammiversary.
I'm not going to hold you. I'm going to tell you why I do. Look at when they rebranded the TNA. Who was their first sign? PCO. Moose is your champion. 20th anniversary for Slammiversary, you'd want to do a throwback. Broken match. I could see it being an ultimate deletion match. I could see it. And I would be the unpopular opinion here. I think it's funny. I think there are other options, but I have seen Moose in quote unquote Cardi matches. And I live because Moose is so, he's serious, but he's so unserious. You know what I mean? So I could see it. It would be a very TNA thing to do.
I've said it once, say it a million times, and I said it with you. when we talked about Emergence and the match that they made us sit through in the audience with Kazarian and Edwards. If you, TNA, have a captive audience in your venue, which you don't do every single week, and you play something on the TV screen for us to watch as a match, no. That's a great way to kill the audience. And that's what they've done before. So if they do something like an Ultimate Deletion match, no. You can't do that. You can't do that to that audience. You can do it on a TV show where everyone's watching because the show is not live. And you can tape the match. And this is what they did with the original deletion matches, is that they were all taped. And you know what they did, Cresta? They sent the screeners to different wrestling media and influencers. And they said, film your reaction to this. We want to get your reaction. And people were, the big teases were like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is incredible. This is stupid. I don't get it. There was a lot of that. And I'm not saying they have to do that again, because I think you do that once, people already know what to expect. They've already
signed me up. I want to do it again.
No, they've nailed that down. They've done it. People know what to expect. Instead, if you're going to do it on an episode of Impact, that's the only way you can do it, because it's going to be a first watch experience, not the people in the venue looking at a screen for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is. That killed me at Emergence. Made no sense at all.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. However, my counter argument will still be, it'd be a very TNA thing to do. I love TNA. I love TNA boots. But Matt Hardy coming out there and being Ultimate Deletion was a very TNA thing to do. So, you know.
But again, they can do it again. They should not run it as a live. They shouldn't run it in front of a live crowd. They should be running it as a TV episode main event.
I would even, I mean, well, you can't because Moose is champion. I was like, you can even put that on the pre-show, warm up the crowd. But having your main event, your main champion on the pre-show, for shame, I'm calling the police.
Yeah, like I was saying in the chat, Final Deletion stuff is made for TV. It's made for TV when your audience is not in the room. But what did rule and what should have been on my TV more was Ali versus Ace Austin from Under Siege. I think that match ruled. Eventually, those guards who are at ringside with Ali, they're going to get banned, or they're going to play one into a storyline. And I think that's really great. Give me your thoughts on Ali versus Austin. That did play into the main event as well, but I just want your thoughts on that X Division Championship match from Under Siege.
By this point, you had told me we weren't going to be doing a show, so I have two notes. That's a lie. No, I have two notes. That was a nice STF on the poll. And not the secret security cheating. That was the theme of the match. The match itself was good. I'm kidding. I have a lot more notes. The match itself was good. Ace Austin is a great wrestler. And I've seen from whence he came again. I used to be a TNA hater back when he was trying to have relations with Eddie Edwards' wife. He's come a long way. Now he's Quadzilla. It was a fantastic match. However, this gimmick Ali has, oh man, it's such good shit, pal. It's so, he's such a piece of crap. I love it. It's so good.
It was a great match. The character fits. Ace Austin was the right person to have this match. I really do think, I said it on my Twitter. I said, if you're going to watch one match from Under Siege, this was the one to watch. They just went 100 miles an hour throughout the whole thing, told good stories. I'm going to leave it at that. Go watch the match. But like I said, eventually those guards that are around ringside with Ali, they're either going to get banned altogether for a big moment, or they're going to come in. Someone's going to be a turncoat or, you know, dressed up as a guard, and then they end up being an actual TNA wrestler, whatever. They're going to do something. They got to do something with the guards, and it feels like that'll come in sooner or later. And then this brings us to Gia Miller backstage with Ace of Base, and then they talk about how tonight it's Ace of Base versus Speedball Mountain. It's a tag team match in the main event, and then the winning team are going to face off against each other for a number one contendership of the X Division Championship, and against all odds. And then, you know, Ace of Base teased dissension again, but they're still going to be a team, and then later on we'll talk about how they might be in dissension again. But what do you think of this whole setup, doing a number one contendership match where two teams fight against another team? They fight each other, and then those teams fight each other. So basically, I just messed up my whole premise there. What do you think when two tag teams face off in the ring and the winning team then have to face each other? That's the question.
almost hit you with, if Johnny has two apples on
the math ain't mathing tonight.
The math ain't mathing tonight. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I've seen it work. You have people like Motor City Machine Guns who, in the spirit of competition, will shake hands. Even Time Jacket, Time Rocket, Rocket Raccoon, whatever combination of those four guys, they will shake hands and then be friends afterwards. I don't want them to break up Ace Austin and Chris Bey. They keep teasing it, and I don't like it. However, I think it's a good way that if you want to make some people singles competitors again, it's a great way to be like, well, you didn't have to kick me that hard. I wanted to win. You ain't want to win? It's a great vehicle. I think the winner, if we jump ahead to the main event of tonight, was the right call with Speedball Mountain, because I think these guys are two guys that'll shake hands after they beat the crap out of each other. You know what I mean? I think it'll be fine. Some shenanigans, I feel like somehow Ace Austin and maybe even Trey Miguel will get involved, and it'll be somehow be a three-way, and Ali, of course, grandstanding and hot dogs will be like, this is tremendous. This was my idea, actually. So I don't mind.
Looking forward to talking about that match in a few minutes, but I love that regardless, both teams are going to face off against each other in any event. It's just an inevitability. As we rush into our first match of the night, Dobby the Brain Heenan sent a super chat saying, fun show tonight. Enjoyed all the in-ring action. The cheerleaders doing the delete sign over and over again made me cackle. That was funny stuff. Again, getting your super chats, getting your humper chats. Go ahead. Frame our discussions. Would you have first class team up to take on FBI? That's Ray Jazz and Zach Clayton. They've got little Guido with them. Listen, on the pre-show, you had FBI beat down La Bateria. It was fine. Good match. But it was really just to get the match tonight on Impact, where First Class beat them. And I like the finish. You did the kick by Swan, the choke slam by Dalla, and then follow up with the frog splash. Solid match. Was what it was. Ray Jazz looked good. Zach Clayton took a beating and looked good against Dalla. So I do appreciate that this match was well worked, but First Class all the way. What'd you think?
I cannot care about First Class because Joe Hendry was doing Kendrick Lamar things to them before Kendrick Lamar was doing it to Drake. He said, all I could think about this whole time watching this match, can you please get fired? I'm like, yo! I wanted to care about this match, but I just kept thinking about Joe Hendry. And unfortunately, I think Joe Hendry has the same effect Danhausen has on some people. And in this case, he has that effect on AJ Francis. And it's horrible to see, like, with the ass boys, like, your guys are good wrestlers, but you'll always be the ass boys. And now I'm going to always think of, can you please get fired? This match was fine.
The best.
Joe Hendry is the best. Honestly, congratulations for climbing the UK charge, Joe Hendry. Put it on Spotify so I can add it to my playlist. Thank you very much.
Did you see that he's trying to do some work with the Sphere in Las Vegas to have his face put on there? And now he wants to make it a charity thing just to promote this brand? God bless Joe Hendry. If they do this with the Sphere, I will give to the charity. I'm putting that out there. I will absolutely, in my best interest, give to this. Not a lot. I mean, I'm a poor podcaster here, but I will absolutely donate to the cause. I think it's wonderful that they're trying to do it. And I think it's hilarious that of all places, it's the Sphere in Vegas.
Honestly, Joe Hendry is a gem. I thought his birthday was May 3rd. As it turns out, his birthday is May 1st. It's May 1st. One of these days is before or after mine. Happy birthday. But honestly, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10. I love that idea. And how are you going to say no to charity?
That's right.
You got to use your noodle. He's working.
he is May 1st.
Hey. Yeah, so either way, I was born in year 4, so it doesn't matter. I'm a million years old. Happy birthday, Joe Hendry.
We're backstage with Santino Marella and Jake something. Jake's annoyed that he's losing to Hammerstone due to interference. The Rascals interrupt. Something's annoyed, and he says, I want to fight. Since everyone's getting in my way, Santino makes Rascals versus something, and then Diener is going to be Jake something's partner. Something looks a little annoyed as they all walk away, so that was a little bit interesting. Jake something took on Alexander Hammerstone at Under Siege. I don't know if you have much to say about it other than these two men beat the living shit out of each other. I liked the match. It was fun stuff. something should have won, but I get why they gave Hammerstone the victory in the end. I think they see a little bit more immediately in Hammerstone. Getting your notes ready, aren't you?
Yeah, I was looking at, wasn't Hammerstone not medically cleared at Under Siege?
Oh my God, like, that's right. You're right.
Jesus. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, it was Joe Hendry versus Zach Wentz, and then it was Rich Swann versus Jake something. And then Cody Deaner came out, and everyone was like, who is this guy?
Jesus Christ. I completely just made up a whole match in my brain.
It's all good. The weeks blend together. It's been that way since the Panoretic. We're still technically in a Pico de Gallo, and Mercury's in Gatorade, so it's fine.
Thank you for putting up with that. We're just going to cut that from the audio, shall we?
Nah, it's all good. It never happened. So anyway, Rich Swann was against Jake something.
Oh, Cody, my God, that's right. I just imagine it didn't matter.
They kept saying card subject to change. They just kept saying that, so you know.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
Oh my God, I'm going to get made fun of for this one. Sorry,
not
folks.
So good.
You know what? I was talking about this on last week's show, and I was so excited for the match, and I'm not even looking at notes from the show. I'm going by my brain, and my brain said Hammerstone wins, and I went by my brain. My brain completely decided to make up a match in its own brain, in its own time.
Tell me what I'm telling lies right now. Wait, what?
What are we doing? Anyway, listen. I want them to run something versus Hammerstone. That's how badly I want it, is that I made up the entire match in my brain.
That's all good. Yeah, that makes you a typical wrestling fan. Where'd you get this source? I made it up.
Listen, if there's one thing we found out at Fightful, is that we're not a credible source, and I just proved that right now.
See, but that's why you said at the top of the hour, you're not the scoops guy. Bing, bang, bong. Sing, sing, song.
But just bring back Hammerstone, for the love of God. Just bring him back. I hope he's cleared. Do the match so I can go, so I can clip this, put it in, say I wanted something to win, but Hammerstone deserved it. Blah blah blah. That's what I was doing. Anyway,
you're reading into the future. I got you. You're a soothsayer. Yep.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's not that I completely forgot that the match didn't happen and that something had a replacement in Rich Swann.
Not at all. That's not what happened at all.
Something should have won.
I mean, in this match, I just wrote Deaners reunite, and we got that like a forced reuniting again. And commentary kept putting that over tonight that, you know, they're technically family. And at first, I was like, wouldn't it be interesting? But Jake something looks more annoyed at Deaner's presence because it's like, yo, you were losing in a design, and now you're doing this people's choice thing, and it often gets you beat up. Get away from me, loser.
Anyway, I'm not making this one up. Soundcheck with Alan Angels. Angels is the late jerk. Putting his shoes on. Why didn't he have his shoes on at work? What was he doing? That was weird. The lighting has gotten better, which I like the progression of this. It seems like the soundcheck is becoming a more professional vibe. They're doing the sitting on the boxes, the rock boxes. And then I love at one point, Khan just rolls Angels away. We forget this guy. Angel says Khan is Steph DeLander's new love interest because Matt Cardona's injured and he's written on the dirt sheets. They're just annoyed with Angels and he's playing a little shithead little brother as he does. And then Angels hits on Steph DeLander. Khan and Steph DeLander are annoyed. Angel sticks security on Khan. Khan takes care of them and they just walk away. and Angels just looks like a big old pile of duty. What do you think of this whole sound check thing?
When he scooted Khan away, I'm like, yo, there's no recovering from that. Not Khan, when he scooted Allen Angels away, just like, it was... This was comedy. This was peak comedy. He was like, oh, I thought you broke up with Matt Cardona. She's like, what are you talking about? And then he starts like, so hey, baby, little bro.
Oh, with his leg up on the box like a real POS.
I mean, if this was a social commentary on what not to do, you nailed it. This is, I like this, but I hate this. Like, okay, Allen Angels, I see what you're doing. But I also want you to get some W's. But this is funny. This is comedy. I was sports entertained.
Steph DeLander and Khan teamed up against PCO and Jordan Grace. Did that match happen at Under Siege? Did it happen? Was it one that happened?
Hold on. Let me go to my notes.
I think it was a good match for what it was. It was a storytelling match. I'm pretty sure that Jordan Grace won. I'm pretty sure that PCO got hit on by Steph DeLander again. And I'm not
going to hold you. I might have turned it off because I don't even have that in my notes. I'm fake. So you know what? This is the best place to get your scoops. Don't forget to select $5 for five post selects. We're the best in the business. You know, we got the best scoops.
All right. Well, you know what? At least I can tell you the Speedball Mike Bailey's contract information is up on FightfulSelect.com. We broke that news story today when it ends. And of course, we've got the scoop on Wheeler Yuta. Unfortunately, he's been injured for a little while. We have a little bit of an update on him. What else do we have? We did Ask Rhapsody today. That was live. We have free tier as well over on FIFA Select, where we break news, big events that are happening. For example, we broke GCW going to Hawaii. That was in a free post over on FIFAselect.com. And Santana versus Matt Riddle at House of Glory on May 24th. That's going to be the main event. FIFA Selected learned Mike Santana is going to put up that House of Glory championship against Matthew Riddle. FIFAselect.com, best $5 in the business. Am I right, Crest of Star, or am I right?
It is the best $5 in the business because you know who's off on Fridays? This girl. You know who likes to go to House of Glory? This girl. So I might just have a scoop myself. A scoop of wrestling. I'm kidding. That's not my. That shows. Okay, I'm a scoop of wrestling. That's what I'm going to have.
I'm seeing Santana tomorrow night, so probably ask him about that.
Everybody getting scoops but me. One of these days I'll come with a scoop and then I'm going to tell Sean, he's going to be like, Cresta, you're late. I'm like, all right, I tried.
All right, let's move along. Rascals, they take on Jake Something, Cody Deaner. Deaner comes out now. It's an Albany Tornado tag match. It's a solid match. Deaner's playing up the crowd thing. The crowd's happy. They love it. Trey goes for a sunset flip on the outside. Something blocks it. Trey Miguel grabs spray paint and he sprays Jake Something in the eyes. Wentz and Trey with that spine buster, double super kick, double stomp combo. They pin Deaner. Let's talk about the match, Crest of Star, and then we'll talk about post-match, which made things even more fun. What do you think of the match between Rascals, Deaner, and Jake Something?
In my hardest of hearts, low-key, one of Deaner's reunion. If we go back to that super chat from earlier, what was one of the things that drew you into TNA? The Deaners were so out there. I kind of low-key want it to happen. But Jake, I feel, is a completely different character now. And I could understand why you wouldn't want him in that situation. That being said, this match, STIFF, I saw Trey Miguel's nipple go into the audience because Jake Something slapped that man's chest, and so did Deaner. Trey Miguel is tough. That is a tough man because his chest is bloody chest. This match, Jake Something getting sprayed in the eyes. Poor Jake Something. You went from winning every match to getting screwed every match. I don't know what they're going to do with him. It makes sense. You want to cool him off just a touch because you got a lot of people in your main event scene. Because to me, at some point, you got to put him in the main event scene. There's got to be a Hammerstone. There's got to be an Alexander something. There's got to be a Moose something. You know what I mean? I get it. The match was fine. The match was great. I feel bad for Trey Miguel's test, but I've also seen Trey Miguel die and come back to life in some of these matches. So
I'm seeing Trey Miguel tomorrow as well. My God, I'm seeing the entire TNA crew.
You're so cool. I want to be like you when I grow up, Joe Pearl.
No, you don't. I'm covering a wrestling show. Post-match, Steve Maclin comes down, beats up on the Rascals, And then he goes backstage. Gia Miller approaches him and say, what the heck's going on? And Macklin's like, this is payback for both times the Rascals walked out on me. And he said, this was the second time. And Gia's like, what does that mean? Says, I took out Trey Miguel at Under Siege, which, by the way, I had to remember that that had happened because apparently I also make up matches in my entire head and then I talk about them. Frankie Kazarian walks up. He says, is that why they lost at Under Siege against Josh Alexander and Eric Young? Macklin says, no. That wasn't because of why. It's because you suck. And then Macklin says, well, it's not his issue. And Macklin says, it's a Kazarian issue. Kazarian said Macklin's Santana issue is his own. Macklin says, well, guess what? Your Kazarian issue of Josh Alexander and Eric Young, that's your own too. They split. Kazarian says, so much for the Marines.
The line was, he said, yeah, well, good luck with your Santana issue. And then he says, luck is for Marines. I was like, ooh. That was really snooty. That was very mean uncle of you, Kazarian.
I had to watch this thing a few times. Macklin's doing a really interesting thing here where he's very tweenery, but like, I don't know if anyone would buy babyface Steve Macklin. But he's been that POS heel for so long. He's been that bad guy, but then he's aligned with a couple of bad guys. The alliances haven't worked. Does he stay a bad guy and then he just proves it that he can do it himself? Or are we maybe poised to see Macklin try to win over the fans?
I think Macklin can do that, but he'd be more of an anti-hero. Like, I see Macklin one of those things where it's like, bro, I'm a jerk, but this is Bully Ray, and ain't no way. I know I'm not the best. I know I got skeletons in my closet, but that's literally Bulk Bogan, and I'm not him. I'll beat him up. So I could see it. He's come quite far as where he has been with who he's been beefing with, and who he's aligned himself with. He's aligned himself with some scumbags. You know what I mean? He's definitely aligned himself with like people like Bully Ray, the Rascals. So I don't know if babyface is what it'll be, but I think definitely more anti-hero is what we'd see.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I like the idea. We'll have to keep tabs on it, shall we?
I mean, you and Macklin are best friends now, so.
I wouldn't go that far.
Call him up like, hey, bud. Hey, pal, it's Tom from the office down the hall.
Look, man, look, okay. You want this so bad. Did you see the interview that we did with Macklin?
I don't watch any of your stuff, Joel. I sure did. I sure did. Hey, wait, I'm not Sean Ross. I could be.
I was trying to find the thing. Did we get rid of it? I think we got rid of it. Did we get rid of it? This isn't the spotlight either. Did we get rid of it? Hold on. Wait for it. Here we go. Did you see the intro for the Macklin interview?
Let me see. What in the clip art was that? Yo, you got heat with me because of that. That was great. I'm sports entertained. Y'all laugh at anything. I'm sports entertained.
For those who don't know, myself and Jeremy Lambert host a morning show on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. That's the theme song. And he and I were interviewing Steve Macklin, and then Sean showed up too. But point is, we did a Steve Macklin intro for that one. Broke him. I broke his ass. It was fantastic.
That was fantastic. I would have popped this. You popped the boys in the back. It's me. I'm the boys in the back.
I hope you're watching TNA. I hope you understand the lengths to which I'll go for a pop, because that was it. Mike Santana sits down with Tom Hannifin. I really liked this segment. And it feels like this is part one. They do a good little background retrospective on Santana's last TNA run, talk about LAX. They talk about the loss of his father, talk about his family. They talk about his sobriety, why he came back. So now we'll get the mission statement stuff. I think this was one of the better presentations of a character returning to TNA that they have done this for. What do you think of this sit down with Santana and Hannifin?
From going from a very silly thing to a very, I feel like a serious interview. This was superb. It was treated with respect. It's one of those things where I feel like, if I can be serious for a moment, I think
talking he works about- for the company too, by the way. He works in the back.
Okay, but let me be serious. No, I'm saying, like, I think it's very important to talk about things like sobriety, especially in this day and age, and even in like wrestling spaces, because I think it's cool to party and seem as a little lame if you're like, hey, I'm sober Cobra, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I do like that they included that, and I do like that they say how he went away to be a singles competitor, and he was like, yo, this bad thing happened with my father passing away, and then right after that the pandemic happened, you know. And I feel like, much like when Frankie Kazarian came back, they're going to talk about his time in AEW and how he's bet on himself to come back to TNA, which I'm excited for. I can't wait to hear that part of the story. I do wish that I was watching TNA during the LAX, because the clip they picked some of the best clips, because I had never seen any of LAX's old. Well, that's a lie. I see maybe one or two, but the clips they showed, I didn't see them, and they looked great. So I loved this. This was treated with so much respect, and it makes me hype for Mike Santana, the person, more than the wrestler, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And there's a match, I'm trying to remember what they called it. It was a Jungle Death match, Bound for Glory 2018, between the OGs and LAX. If you're going to watch one match from that run, that's the match I would recommend. It was hard hitting. It was crazy. Lucha Bros and LAX had a bunch of really good matches as well. But
is it bloody?
One of them is. But you've gotten used to it, so you'll be okay. It's not like, it's not aggressively bloody. It's just aggressive.
It's not Cody Rhodes bloody like Crimson Mask.
It's not. It's like,
okay, I can do it.
I don't think it's too bloody. But go take a look at that match. One was 2018, the other one was 2019. I was there for the Rebellion one. I think. Ooh, I was there at Rebellion. I couldn't remember the matches. Again, I've been making up matches tonight, so what do I know, right? How do I know if I'm telling the truth? You won't know until you go back and watch Impact for yourself. Figure out what I told the truth on tonight. Ash by Elegance has an interview with Gabby Lasmiza. The Busted Open universe continues to expand onto TNA programming. George Iceman comes out and he's asked what his name is. His name is George Iceman, by the way. Yeah, that's
his name. I'm surprised Joe Hendry didn't come out when they said, what is your name? I thought they were going to say his name. I don't know why, and I'll stop thinking.
Keep him far away from this one. So he introduces, does George, the personal concierge, Ash. Anyway, and they do a whole thing with the video package, and Gabby's trying to get to the bottom of this with Ash by Elegance, blah, blah, blah. And then Xia Brookside comes out, makes the match. It's Xia Brookside versus Ash by Elegance for the they call it the rings, but it's really just a brass knucks bejeweled type of thing. Because if you remember the first match that Xia and Ash had, it ended with the brass knucks being used, the bejeweled knucks, whatever you want to call them, and Xia got the win on Ash, and then Ash had a temper tantrum. So feels like we're running this back, so Ashley gets her win. Sorry, Ash by Elegance gets her win. What is on her birth certificate, Cressa Star?
What you just witnessed just now was called growth, because I almost said something rude. It says Ash by Elegance. That's what it says.
Someone in the chat saying, you know, the concierge is too annoying, takes away from Ash. And you and I have been talking about this. I need your thoughts, because I know you're not, it's worked for you once and then it hasn't. So give me your heat check on Ash.
I'm going to say the personal concierge is the only thing working. I want it to work. I'm seeing what's beginning to form. You are an entitled influencer with a personal concierge, a personal corsair. Okay. I get it. It's kind of giving Emelina, but whatever. It's kind of giving the iconics, the influence. Well, it doesn't matter. The inspiration doesn't matter. I've seen this. I know you can do it. I see it. However, what we got right, what we're getting, my patience is growing thin. I want it to work before I just get, I'm disinterested. And I will always root for women's wrestling, because I know people are like, I'm going to the bathroom. Shut the hell up, okay? But this isn't working for me, brother. And I think George Iceman is the best part of this. And I hate that for her. I hate that for her. I want more. And if pairing her with Zaya, because she did have some good matches with Zaya, maybe that'll bring it back out of her. But again, if we go back to what happened at Under Siege, you did that backwards, honey. I mean, like, you should have did all that aggression in the match. I would have got it then. It would have made sense that you're someone who's tough, but you're also very bougie. I can understand that. I just, what I want, I'm not getting. And I felt this way with Giselle Shaw, and then she turned it around. But by now, Giselle Shaw turned it around. And I'm still not getting that with Ash. And I want more. I want more. That's all it is. That's all it is. I think she's a good wrestler. I just need more. More, more, more.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. And I think that's that there's a certain amount of like expectation that because she's a former WWE star, maybe she's going to come in and make a huge difference and be as, you know, be the next Knockouts world champion. But what if it's not what we're doing here? Maybe if it is more character based, more undercard, a little comedy, but a little serious, if there's room for that to exist in the TNA world, I'm okay with that. Someone who's going to basically help other talent get over, but it doesn't seem necessarily that that's what they're going to do. Eventually she's going to cycle into championship contention. I don't know when.
But I don't even feel like we're getting that undercard comedy thing. Like we get like with the garlic, and it was cool, but you could have gone further. Just like I feel like with the wrestling, there's something missing, and I can't critique because I'm not like a wrestler. So I know where my line and my boundary is, but there's a layer there that I'm like, it's like biting into a sandwich with no lettuce. There's no crumbs. There's something missing. There's something missing. And once she finds it, it'll be great. Maybe she needs a Giselle Shaw to be like, girl, you look busted. Come be under my ring. I had a Shaw Tourage before. Maybe I can make it work for you or something. I just know for me right now, it's not working for me, brother. And I just want my little crumps. I just need a little bit more.
Well, speaking of Gail Kim, she's too busy at the Lotus Wellness Retreat in Kemptville, Ontario. That's my cheap plug for them. And then Gail Kim steps out of a car, finding Giselle and saying they need to talk. And apparently that's Gail Kim's boss voice, according to several members of the TNA roster / TNA staff. So people know it's real when Gail has that to say. But yeah, now we know Giselle Shaw has been working on herself. What does that mean? How does that look? And what does Gail Kim have to do with this? Last time we saw Giselle was with Gail Kim saying, you know, you need to cheat to win. You need all these people around. But do you really? Is she finally taking Gail Kim's, you know, advice? Where is this going with Giselle Shaw? What do you think of this segment? It was short, but sweet.
I am manifesting Gail Kim, Giselle Shaw, and the Knockouts Tag Division. Your Knockouts Tag Division needs some... It needs some life, because I think you've got Spitfire, Decay, and Alicia Mosh, or Masha Slish. I don't know what that's called.
Masha Alicia.
You got that, and that, I feel like that's it. I would like it. But if she's your manager and your valet and you go on a winning streak because of it, yes, God.
I'm looking forward to when she comes back. I think fans are going to be ready to cheer Giselle Shaw, especially if Gail Kim is going to be cornering her.
Or I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. Jonathan Gresham takes on Will Ferrara. Oh, baby. We haven't spoken about Jonathan Gresham, you and I, and this new look for Gresh. I love it. I love the presentation. I love what they're doing. I love the match that he had against Kushida. I did not expect that to be on the Under Siege card. I thought they were taping it for TV. And then they said on the Impact episode before Under Siege that no, this is going to be on the card. Gresham has finally found a character that goes with the wrestler and makes him a different version of himself. The Kushida match was really good stuff. You see change happening. And there's an extra added twist that we'll get into. But what do you think of the Gresham presentation starting with Under Siege? And we'll talk about the match with Will Ferrara, an ROH original fight right there.
They have called him the Octopus for far too long, and he has turned into the Ink Spot. Neither things are COVID friendly. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. But that also being said, I hate and I love the Great Muta mask. I'm going to say that. It's good. It's a good mask. It's terrifying. That's why I hate it. This presentation is disgusting, but also, yes. Ooh, it's creepy. Ugh. But this is great. This is great. This is Jonathan Gresham peak. I'm bending everything, and then I'm going to spit in your mouth. And for some people, listen, getting that free on TV is great. You know what I mean? But this is Spooky LaDuca, and I'm here for it. Jonathan Gresham has always been a good wrestler, and I don't know if anything last year of I need to change and you need to change, if that has anything to do with it, or if this is just, you know what, sometimes you got to go into the undead realm and come back out. But either way, I'm with it.
Yeah, Gresham coming out with a character that's going to match who he is and using the octopus mask as a vessel and not as an accent piece, as just like a presentation. When he comes out, he would wear the octopus mask and it had the tentacles coming out and we'd just take it off and then he would just be a wrestler. Now instead we get a guy wearing a mask that to me actually looks like Drago from AAA and also from Lucha Underground, if you remember Drago from there, with like a similar character where like the mouth is in this case bleeding ink because that's what he is. He's an octopus. There's some really cool visual storytelling that's starting there. Now, going back to Under Siege, I noticed the referee in the match, and I was like, they didn't hire a new guy. This guy was completely different. I had never seen him before, and I thought to myself, okay, that's very interesting. And then they made reference to it on tonight's episode of Impact, that the same referee who refereed the Kushida match was also doing the Volferrara match, and it turned out that he is now going to be part of the story. He will be coughing up squid ink or having issues, and Gresham is just going to be, I guess, controlling this referee, or something will come to play. But I love that that's how they're doing it. It's a hell of a presentation, and adding the referees like that little wrinkle that you're not supposed to notice, but we're going to tell you it's there. What do you think?
Honestly, now that you said that, mind control, he's not an octopus, he's a mind flayer, baby. Jonathan Gresham is a mind flayer, and now he's messing with everyone again. Not very COVID friendly to spit in your hand and then spit in someone else's mouth, but also the mandible claw coming back. Wrestling is a pipe, eventually everything comes back around. So I love it. I think this is a great presentation of Gresham. It is terrifying. I'm losing the mental game before I even wrestle you, bro. You're coming down like that, and then you take off the mouthpiece to expose something spookier. I quit. No thanks. And I know you're about to spit in my mouth. It's like fighting Crazy Steve. I know you're about to bite me or fork me. No way. No way, bro.
Now I want those two to fight.
Oof. I don't want them to fight. I want them to get together and do some real freaky stuff. Wait. Not like that. Not like that.
Yeah, sure.
Get the band Decay back together since Black Taurus is now something else in AEW. So, you know, I mean, he fits.
The Beast Muertos.
Yes, anyway. Well, since he's beasting over there, we get a old mind flayer over here.
Folks, it's our final match of the night. Get your Humper Chats and your Super Chats in. Ace of Bays take on Speedball Mountain. Mustafa Ali is on commentary. The big news here isn't 2-1. Cresta, Speedball Mountain wear fur coats now.
It's cold at the top of the mountain.
Good point. But just to make reference, they're not real fur coats. That's cruel.
They are faux fur, which I totally support. You know, don't wear animals because you are an animal.
Match is good. Speedball Mountain get the victory. Ace of Bays have a little malfunction at the junction, and that Ace Austin goes after Mustafa Ali, who's at ringside, and that gets him stuck because he ends up eating the Speedball Mountain Kick Dragon Suplex Birmingham or Ultimate Weapon. So Ace eats the pin. Speedball Mountain's gonna go one-on-one against each other next week on Impact. Winner gets to face Mustafa Ali at TNA's Against All Odds in June in Chicago, which that's an interesting wrinkle because you're going to have, I'm guessing it's Trent Seven for this round. And then it's, I think Speedball and Ali is going to be a Slammiversary because Speedball needs a standout match in effectively his hometown. That's a match that you do. Ali and Speedball one-on-one at Slammiversary. That's a big moment. Don't know if Speedball wins, but I do know that that's a match worth doing. But let's talk about the tag match itself. There was just a lot of really, really, really solid action. Ace of Bays are going to fight each other, and so are Speedball Mountain, but at least there'll be stakes on one side.
I will say there were two different things happening during this match, and I lived for both of them. The in-ring action was amazing. I mean, but also what was going on commentary, Ali, this I cannot praise enough. When I call it a piece of crap, I mean that respectfully. It is so, he is such a spin master. I noticed that when he's lying, he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. He really sticks to his agenda, and Tom Hannifin was being spicy nice tonight. He was like, but you cheated, and you had your secret security. And quite frankly, I think you're too fair. Like, oh, Tom Hannifin, even sitting next to Nigel McGuinness, like, what's going on?
I was waiting for Hannifin and Ali to have a match because they were going at it on commentary. Hannifin has become like that. He takes no shits, and I really appreciate that. His character at the desk has suddenly become one that is just not afraid to be in charge, and I really like that.
You kind of have to be sitting next to Raywall, because Raywall will lie. He will lie like a rug. He will lie as the day is long. Raywall will lie. Raywall was, as the kids will say, he was glazing Ali all night. All night. Ali said something. He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's right. You're so. You would swear that Raywall was doubling for Don Callis. He lied so much. You had that going on commentary. And then you had this match where it was kind of like, will they, won't they, with Chris Bay and Ace Austin. And also, are they still in Bullet Club? Is that a thing? Because I didn't see it in their intro. And I'm like, did I miss them?
So they kind of started moving them away from that after Hard to Kill. They don't come out to the Bullet Club music anymore. It's kind of been like they're moving away from it, but they still have like the theme music is a variation on the Bullet Club theme. It's just like a more updated version of it, but they're not Bullet Club. They were always the cooler members of Bullet Club compared to literally everyone else in the group. But it feels like they're just kind of like they're there. They're like Bullet Club. Well, they're like NWO Japan, but Bullet Club is in Japan. And this is, you get my point.
Yeah, we're like second, third cousin lover friends. I got it.
Yeah, you get it. That's exactly it.
I mean, the double dives. Well, it was a dive from Speedball to, oh my goodness. I know it's Dome. Speedball did the moonsault on to Austin, and Trent Seven did the dive onto Bay. Yep. And that was pretty cool. But again, I don't want them to break up Ace Austin and Chris Bay. I do think that both the X Division and your main event, hell, even your digital media scene is kind of crowded right now. I think these two are a very well-established team, and I would hate to break them up. However, Ace Austin or Chris Bay would be an amazing X Division champion. Chris Bay or Ace Austin would be an amazing digital media. And I think that depending on those runs, we could talk about a serious, legitimate conversation of world champion. These guys have proven themselves, especially I love Chris Bay. And I think that Chris Bay, in my opinion, has always had it. But the improvement from Ace Austin in particular, I'm like, we can really have this conversation. Again, I've seen from whence he came trying to heck Alicia to now. So it's like, I want him to be great. And I know Chris Bay got it. Chris Bay, to me, has the same je ne sais quoi as Swerve. You just got to, I think if he's put in the right position, he'd be an amazing champion. And I think Ace Austin has that now. I don't want them to break up quite as yet. I think there's still more gas in that tank.
I agree. They could also do a brothers fight and then brothers get back together type of thing. Just fight it out, get it over with, and then we're good. Or they could do, you know, someone's pointing in the chat, they could do the tag title rematch clause that they mentioned they have, lose the match, and then split up. It's, sorry for the pun, it's inevitable only because these two are so ready to be more than the tag team. They've both had great X Division matches and have been X Division toppers that it's time to start thinking about what happens next, because they don't need to sit in tag team forever. Or they could split amicably and decide that they're going to go after singles, and then tag teams are only when they want to do it. But I think it's time for Ace of Base to start moving on from what they've done, because they've accomplished everything there is to accomplish in the tag team division of TNA.
My only air of concern when it comes to that is always like right now we're very stacked in every card, and I don't want them to get lost in the shuffle. In the tag division right now, I think you're at the top of the card. If like they're not tag champions right now because the system is, but this is a team that is at the top of the card where there's so much going on in your X division, especially with Ali. Ali is that's gone. You can forget that. The digital media championship, not for nothing. I think these guys, not saying that they're better than that, but I'd rather them be in the main event scene conversation, which is already crowded with Steve Maclin, Ryan Nemeth, Nick Nemeth, Matt Hardy. Like, there's so many people. I just don't want them to get lost in the shuffle, which people can. It happens in Impact. People do get lost in the shuffle. I miss Tasha Steelz. Where's Savannah Evans? You know what I mean? Where's Jay Vidal? You know, that's just my worry. I agree with you. I think that's them as a tag team is great, but it's time for them to do more. But right now, is now the best time to do more? Because what are we going to do with Ace Austin versus a Steve Maclin? Who mad? Ace Austin versus Chris Bay? I don't want to see that.
Feels like you might soon see it. We'll see what they do. But that's Impact. That's TNA Impact for May the 9th, 2024. We got a lot coming up. Against All Odds is happening in June. And then Slammiversary is in July. Crest of Star, what do you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going on. My life is upside down, but you make it all better. I'm here every Thursdays and Fridays on Fight, not Fridays, and Saturdays here on Fightful. Thursday, I'm here with Joe Pearl. We talk about Impact. We do a little jokey joke, a little hee-hee ha-has. And on Saturdays, I'm with Rick and Shino and Iridia. And we also talk about a collision. We do a little jokey joke, a little ha-ha. We talk about wrestling there. If that's a lot, you can find me on X, Twitter, at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. And all my social media is Cresta Star. You can find me on everywhere except Facebook because, heck you, Zuckerberg, take that. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
Very easy to find. I am at Joel Pearl on all social media. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over at Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. If you haven't subscribed there yet, go ahead and do that. If you haven't left a thumbs up on this video, go ahead and do it now and subscribe to us at youtube.com/Fightful and to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. If I'm not here with Cresta, then I'm probably just talking to wrestlers. If I'm not talking to wrestlers, then I'm probably just talking to the wall, which is kind of what I do for a living. So anyway, Existential Dread has definitely piled in for the night. So I'm going to get out of here. For Cresta Star, you know who I am. We'll see you next Thursday. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.